Moncrief on News Talk.
As you no doubt know, Andy Burnham has become the seventh UK Prime Minister in a decade, and you've probably already heard a lot of analysis of the massive task facing him. Part of that will be in attempting to endear himself to the British public, and in one key respect, he may already be in controversial territory, specifically how he makes a cup of tea. Andy puts in the tea bag and the milk before the hot water. Is this really the sort of person who should be leading a country? Jenna Logan is a tea sommelier for Clement and Pico Cafes in Dublin. Jenna, good afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Is this a peculiarly English thing, or has this been around for a while?
No, it has been around for a while. It's certainly not without precedent. Initially, back in the 1700s, the early 1800s, when tea was really, really starting to take off as a cultural phenomenon in the West, in England, and in these islands, you would have porcelains that were perhaps not of the quality one would hope. If they were particularly fragile, if you put the hot water in first, it could crack the cup. Mm. So the practice of putting milk in first was to assure that you didn't crack your cup and leak tea all over the place. In this modern age, however, we don't really have to worry about these things. Nothing's going to crack for, you know, fear of a lawsuit being brought probably. But the fact that Andrew Burnham is still doing that, it is kind of a callback to a time, and without making sweeping generalizations, it is a bit of a working class thing to put the milk first. I think as a carryover from those days of maybe lower quality tea wares. However, having done a little research around this prior to coming on today, I was talking to an Irish friend who was brought up in the Midlands, and he said he does that. He puts his milk in first.
Yeah.
Then he puts his tea bag in and then the hot water. And I thought, well, how extraordinary. It's still happening.
Yeah.
So it isn't just him, you know, PM Burnham now with his odd affectation. It is something that happens.
Okay, well, but that's interesting in that Burnham might be, you know, subtly signaling towards, you know, his working class roots kind of thing.
It's entirely possible. Like, I'm certainly not qualified to get into the psychological subtext of what's going on with his tea drinking, but that is a very real possibility.
Having said all that, if you do it in that manner, does that affect the quality of the cup of tea or how much tea you can taste?
Yeah, well, that's another question entirely. Now, at the end of the day, if he's been drinking his tea like this all along, he's used to what he's used to. Mm. However, if you're putting in your milk first, it does inhibit the infusion of the tea bag. You're not getting the full whack, as it were. Now, his exact quote, because we're getting this, I think it was from some TikTok interview he did a few days ago, and he talked about making his cup of tea. And what he said, more or less, was he puts the tea, the milk in first to soften up the tea bag, and he felt then it gave him a stronger cup of tea.
Mm.
Now, in reading that, I realized I had no idea what he was saying.
Yeah.
Because if you're softening up the tea bag, how does it make it stronger? They're two diametrically opposed ideas. So if you're putting in your milk, you, as I say, you are inhibiting infusion because you want to get that hot water on your tea to get that flavor out, to get the color out. It's all there to be let out with the hot water. Milk actually kind of coats the tea leaves that are in the bag, and then you don't get the full flavor.
Yeah. So you're just having a bit of tea in your milk, really, rather than the other way around.
That's exactly it.
Oh, God.
But as I always say, once you pay your money, you can do whatever you like with your tea bag. But I do find it a bit curious myself. I won't go as far as to judge and say right or wrong, but it's not my way, is what I'll say.
Well, I suppose it depends how much you like the taste of tea.
Yeah.
And certainly if we're putting the milk in first, you're not getting much of the taste of tea.
Yeah. I mean, what he's describing to me is like something you would serve to a sickly child, that you wanted to give them kind of a milky tea as as something soothing. When I want a cup of tea, I want the full whack. I want all the flavor and I want the caffeine. I want the tannins. I want everything.
Yeah. Somebody's texting in to say, I don't drink tea, just coffee. But I do put the milk in first, then stir the coffee in instant, and then add hot water.
Well, I think
that's a different thing.
It is a different thing. You're using instant coffee. I think that might be a different program. We'll have to come back to that in future.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But, you know, you masked your disdain almost successfully there, I think, Jenna. The thing is, anyway, is that as a tea sommelier, as someone who, you know, knows the different flavors and natures of tea, are we all basically vulgarians drinking it out of tea bags anyhow?
Well, I don't like to disdain the world of the tea bag, because it's a lot of things. It's culture, it's economies, it's national economies, it's jobs. It's a huge part of the world and kind of how we function throughout the day. However, I just think the tea bag teas, there's always the concerns about microplastics. There's always the concern about what is actually in that tea bag. It isn't often full leaf tea that's in that bag. It's chopped up. It's a process called CTC, which means cut, tear, curl. And it's a way in which they process the tea so that if you were to rip open that bag and look at it, it looks like sand. Each little piece is completely consistent with the next one. And it also creates a consistency of flavor through the tea growing season. So that's great. That's what people want. There's a great convenience to it. There's a familiarity to it. What I'm trying to do, what Clement and Pico is trying to do, is we're just trying to carve out a little space for loose leaf tea, which is less than 1% of the world's tea production.
Wow.
It is really? So small. And so we're just trying to give it a little breathing space. It's a different thing. There are more nuances to the flavor. It does take a little more time to prepare correctly. So, you know, but in this fast-paced world, maybe it's okay to take 3 to 4 minutes out of your day and be a little more mindful about your cuppa.
Well, then is loose leaf tea in danger of not being, of going extinct in the sense of people drinking it?
I wouldn't go that far, but there are certainly issues around loose leaf tea. In Japan, certainly the younger generation, they aren't drinking tea in the same way that their parents or their grandparents did. They drink tea beverages, they drink boba tea, or they drink matcha lattes. Cold tea drinks are very popular, but there's always talk about abandoned tea gardens or young, excited tea growers going in and reclaiming abandoned tea gardens. So, yeah, we don't drink tea in the same way that, you know, they would have mid-century or early 20th century. It's a very different thing. And, of course, coffee's all the talk now. Everybody wants, you know, good quality beans. But if you're into your tea, it's worth it to educate your palate and get back to what it was originally prior to tea bags. It's a completely different taste sensation, if you will.
Should you be putting milk in tea at all? Why do we do it?
Yeah, well, how much time do we have? But I mean, essentially, we started putting milk in tea because back when Assam in India was a colony by the British, they discovered they had tea growing in their backyard. And the kind of tea that it was much rougher than what they were used to getting out of China. And so to take the edge off of this very robust tea, they would put milk in it to soften it up because it was so much stronger than what they were used to. So that's where the milk came in. And that's why we still drink it, because some people find black tea, breakfast tea, too harsh. And there are varying degrees of strength in teas, just like there are coffees. And so it's more of a preference thing. I personally used to drink tea with milk, But I've stopped because I like the taste of tea. I want to taste the tea itself without someone putting milk in it and kind of masking it.
Yeah. So, because I found myself, excuse me, in countries where generally they serve tea, but they don't put milk in it, it's really easy to get used to that. It's no great hardship at all.
Yeah, because I imagine they're probably preparing it correctly.
Yeah.
It isn't left to stew for too long, even though we can be very forgiving of an overstewed tea. Maybe that's the moment we want to put a little milk in it to take the edge off. But yeah, it just depends where you are. Like in India, they drink chai, which is a black tea made with a lot of spices. And it's very common for them to milk it. Chai is very popular here as well. And it's always a milked drink. So, yeah.
Is it the main tea producers in the world, would that be China and India still?
Yeah, China and India are huge, but another big one is Africa. Kenya is a massive tea producer. However, the bulk of what Africa, not exclusively, but the bulk of it is for the tea bag industry. Yeah.
Really? And that would to an extent for if you're a farmer making tea, it's probably in your interest to move over to the tea bag industry rather than the more specialist teas.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. The farms that we deal with directly at Clement & Pico, they're from Japan, they're from India, Darjeeling, they're from the Indian state of Bihar is another one where we deal directly with them. It's much more mindful tea, what they're crafting, and there is a lot of craft involved. It's very consciously made. It's often not mechanized in the sense it's manual labor. It's tea pluckers out there in the fields plucking tea leaves. It's a very different process. In a place like Africa, the swathes of land are so big, that's not practical to use manual labor. You have to have it industrialized. You have to have mechanization out in the fields.
Somebody's just texted in with what they think might be a reason for putting in milk first. Mm-hmm. They say back in the 1950s, older people in Dublin used to put milk in first, then hot water and tea, supposedly to kill anything that might be in the milk, as in those days it was unpasteurized.
Huh. I've never heard of that either.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah, that does kind of make sense.
Yeah.
Somebody else says, I still favour scalding the pot and the cup and using 3 tea bags in the teapot. That a practice of scald, does that do anything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It keeps your tea hotter. We would scald the cup before we serve at the cafe. Definitely. I mean, if your porcelain or your cup, whatever it is you're using, is stone cold, it's immediately going to drop the temperature of your tea. And the one thing I have learned about a lot of people in Ireland is you don't serve anything below what seems like boiling. Boy, people want a mouthful of hot in this country.
That also, should all tea be made with boiling water or
not all tea. Black tea at the cafe, we serve black tea at 90 degrees. We serve green teas and white teas, which are more delicate. We serve those at a lower temperature, 80 degrees. And there are some very top quality green teas, certainly out of Japan. They would serve those as low as 60 degrees because the leaf is so delicate and you don't want to scald the leaf and taint the flavor.
That was fascinating. Jenna, thank you so much for coming in to...
You're so very welcome.
...talk to us today. That was Jenna Logan there, tea sommelier with Clement and Pico in Dublin.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.